Don't miss a second on HD2. Mouse on over to kpft.org or on TuneIn Radio today. KPFT, Houston.
Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals 8 p.m. Wednesday. And time for So, What's Your Story? The only program originating in Houston devoted to storytelling right here on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm one of your hosts, Cam Living, along with Allo Soto, because Dr. Hank is at the Moth Grand Slam at George R. Brown, where the best tellers in Houston are congregating at this very moment. Allo, this program, this studio, it's the real deal, huh? You got any thoughts running through your mind right now?
Fairly nervous, but no granola. I know we got this running joke that we can't be chewing on granola whenever we run the show. So let's just be nice and smooth.
Your heart beating fast?
A little bit.
Mine too. It's all right though, but we're not worried because the incomparable Nicole Rochelin, I see you, girl. One of the true icons of the program is here to run the boards and keep all of us on track, along with the resourceful Tatiana Gago to help show us the way. Together, we will continue to do what the So What's Your Story team seems to do so effortlessly each week. Celebrate the power of storytelling by placing the spotlight on tellers who take us on journeys through the windows of their soul before returning us safely to the present. Nicole, how long you been doing this show?
You know what? Because I'm much older than you guys, I have no idea. No, honestly, I do believe since the summer of 2016, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Tell us about the moment you knew that you belonged here.
The moment I knew that I belonged here was when he offered the internship. Dr. Rubicek, the producer of our show, producer and creator of our show, offered the internship. And he said, okay, well, if you do syndication, you're going to do X, Y, and Z. But if you do the engineering, you're on the show. And I said, I want to do it. And so that was the very first moment that I knew that I needed to be on the radio because I needed this voice to be heard.
So, Tatiana, when did that special sense of belonging start for you?
For me, it started when he asked me to come back, because I started in August of 2017. So in the middle of the semester, he asked me, do you want to do this again? I said, absolutely.
All right. Well, tonight promises to be a showcase of special moments because Dr. Hank's students, some of whom are in his storytelling class, are here to tell you some memorable yarns for your listening pleasure. Allo, tell everybody who they are.
My pleasure, Cam. We got Tahia Shadaya, who goes by Ty. He's a criminal justice major at UHD. He's also an amateur boxer and managed to fight his way onto this program today. He loves when stories tell him about his past and that's what draws him to personal narrative. Irene Nunez, yes, right, I said it right. Irene Nunez is a senior corporate communication studies major and has her mindset on becoming a director of communications for a Fortune 500 company. Irene was a winner of UHD's public speaking contest last year, and her story tonight was a part of that tenderly conveyed message. Shay Hopper is a comm studies major with a focus on rhetoric. She's also into sign language and styling hair, so apparently she knows those signs unique to blonde, brunette, and those without hair. Okay. Also, Tatiana Gago, I hope I got that right.
Gago, close enough.
My bad. Okay. A significant player on this program is not only a great storyteller, but also a kickboxer.
You got the hands?
Uh-oh. Tatiana, parking is tough around here, so did you have to fight Cam for a parking spot?
Well, I had to throw a couple jabs.
Okay. Yeah, my eye messed up no more.
She's planning a career in media or research, just as long as she can help construct messages with those unable to do so for themselves. Guys, welcome. How we feeling? What's going on? What's the vibe like? All good?
All right. We're happy to be here.
Well, let's get it. Well, Irene, let's start with you. You want to be a communication director for a large company. If you could write your own job description, how would it read?
Ooh, that's a good one. So I'd want to be responsible for traveling and representing either the company, business, organization in the outside world, being able to promote special events. I love doing that. That's my passion. And build a team to oversee, like, marketing, advertising, everything.
Okay, that sounds pretty fire to me. Now, I understand that you lost your father, and your story is about how you dealt with his death. This story was a part of a speech you delivered at last year's contest. What was the theme, Irene?
So the theme was overcoming adversity, and for this it was overcoming and being able to find myself after feeling so lost.
All right, well, tell us your story.
So August 6th of 2016, it was a Saturday. We woke up around 8 a.m. like we usually do on a weekend, and we found out that my dad had passed away. So within the next 2 weeks, I became the head of the household. I gained over $15,000 worth of debt. I had to start taking care of my mom and myself. It's just the two of us. So it was really hard. I was still going to school. I started not attending and just completely failed out that entire semester. I didn't tell anyone about it, which was a big mistake. And I just found myself at the brink of dropping everything and just moving on and not telling anyone until I spoke to my advisor at the time and now mentor, Dean Guillory at UHD, and she told me, like, you don't have to give up. Like, you have people around you that love you, that want to be here for you. Like, you just need to tell people. Like, you need to speak up. You need to voice your concerns and, like, what's going on, and we'll be here. Like, don't give up, because that's not what your father would want. And she was right, because he's never been a quitter, and he taught me to work hard, to always push forward. And so that entire next semester, I dedicated myself to my studies. My mom actually went to school with me every single day, and I made it through. Now I'm back up to a 3.0 GPA. I made the NCAA championship. I took fourth place. I'm an All-American in wrestling now, so that was really, you know, like, that was a triumph. I've done a lot, and I'm grateful, and I have a great knit of people. Shay actually is one of my closest friends, and my boyfriend Ramiro, they've been there for me along with so many others, and I couldn't have done it without them.
That's beautiful, and I think that's so huge how having somebody around you is so important, you know, kind of to encourage you, especially when whenever you're feeling kind of down. Cam, how did that story impress you?
It just showed me what I already knew, that she's a natural-born leader and she can handle business at any time that she needs to. Irene, I know that there's a lot in the story, but what's the most single important message that you want listeners to take?
So to speak up about what's going on with your life, you know, like, let people know, people that care about you, like, let them know what you're going through, because you never know who will actually be there for you if you don't say anything. So I've gotten lots of help, and I have a strong support group now.
Okay, all right. Tatiana, I know you took the storytelling class from Dr. R. Now you're here during an internship, and storytelling has clearly made an impression on you. What is it about storytelling that you love the most?
Well, for me, storytelling, it's kind of like a journey. You're going through, you're just escaping through reality, because people are telling you such wonderful and captivating stories that kind of just help you forget about any problem that you have. And you also get to learn about them through the kind of stories that they tell.
Okay. Your story is one that you told in that class, and it's one about your mother, and it was inspired by pride. We're looking forward to hearing it.
Well, my pleasure. You know, I never imagined about my parents ever being in pain or so much as ever dying as a child. I've always seen them as invincible. However, I got to realize that in my teen years, mostly in middle school, that my parents are much, much older than my friends' parents. Especially my mom. To describe my mother, she is a 5'3", 118-pound woman in her 60s. But she has such a youthful spirit and so much life in her. But on September 11th, 2015, as if that day isn't bad enough, was the day I saw her practically lifeless. It was a Friday, I remember, and I was 18 at the time. I recently began college. I was a college freshman in my first semester of college. My parents, they were really proud of me, so they decided to celebrate, and my dad wanted to go to his favorite restaurant, Houston's. So for that evening, I made a reservation. During that time, I was a biology major, and for some reason, I thought it was a great idea to have a morning class on a Friday. Well, that really didn't work with my schedule that well because I really woke up late that day. I was really stressed. I wasn't really used to that schedule yet. So that morning, I was rushing. I was stressed. I was very late, and I just grabbed whatever I got from my closet. Really anything. And before I was going to dash out the door, my mom, she saw my outfit and she started criticizing me and then started saying that I need to change my taste in clothing. And I just started getting more angry and frustrated. So I just looked at her and I told her, why don't you just shut the hell up for once? I never spoke to her like that before and I could see the hurt in her eyes, but she still gave me a blessing and she told me she loved me. And instead of saying it back, I turned around and left in anger. So I went throughout my day, and I didn't get home until maybe 5:30 in the afternoon because we had a reservation at 7. My mom, she was getting ready, and my dad, he noticed that my mom looked a little pale. And he asked her, are you feeling okay? And she said, yeah, I'm fine. We continued to get dressed. We still had a bit of a grudge between us. There was some tension, but as soon as we got to the restaurant, it got normal again, but an hour and a half later, after we ate, we were still sitting down in the restaurant. My mom started complaining about stomach pains and also feeling cold. So she said that she was going to step out of the restaurant for 10 minutes and just get some air. So 10 minutes pass by. My mom, she isn't back. Instead, we see a hostess. She approaches our table and she asks us, do you know Gladys? And that's my mom's name. I said, yes, well, I know her. And she said, well, Gladys just fell and she hit her head against concrete, but she's totally fine. That's not totally fine. So I got up, and if you know Houston's, that is a really dark restaurant. So I got up from the table and I literally ran across the restaurant. Instead of getting to the front door, I accidentally ran into the kitchen. So eventually I got past that. I got out of the kitchen and I went outside. And when I got outside, I saw people surrounding my mother. There was an ambulance, and I saw her laying on a black bench. She wasn't moving. She was very pale, very white. She had cuts and bruises on her, and she wasn't moving. Her BP, her blood pressure, was below 85, which is dangerously low. There was barely any pulse there. And at that moment, I thought, my mother's dead. She's gone. And I never told her I'm sorry or that I loved her because I kept imagining what happened that morning. So really, I don't remember much from what happened in that scene. All I remember is that I was probably having an internal panic attack, or I was in a state of shock because I had tunnel vision. My stomach was hurting. I was shaking. I couldn't cry. I tried to cry, but I couldn't. And I heard inaudible speaking. Next thing I know, I'm in an ambulance, and there, that 10-minute ride felt like an hour, because I would look down at my mom, and I saw her. She had wires, and, like, she had an IV. I couldn't recognize her. She looked so helpless. She looked dead. She was still unresponsive. And at that time, somebody was texting me, complaining about their mom, saying that she doesn't appreciate him enough. And then I told him, you need to shut up right now because you need, and go tell your mom that you love her and hug her, because right now I am in an ambulance with her, with an unresponsive, unconscious mother. So we get to the hospital. My dad, he was behind the ambulance, so we were waiting for him. I have to fill out medical forms for her. I had to answer some medical questions about her history, and I'm still thinking about what I said to her this morning and that I didn't tell her that I'm sorry or that I love you. So I sit down right next to her. She's still on the gurney, and that thought just keeps continuing on through my mind. So then my dad, he eventually arrives, and my mom begins to regain her strength, regains her consciousness, and I ask her, how are you doing? I am just kissing up to her, asking her if she needs anything, if everything's okay, how's she feeling? She says she's fine, and then she stays, and we stay in the hospital overnight, and we get discharged early in the morning. So my dad, he goes to get the car, and then we wait in the front of the hospital. And I pull my mother aside, and I look at her, still thinking about what I said the day before. And I look at her straight in the eye and tell her the two phrases that I struggle to say the most. I'm sorry, and I love you.
Wow. Y'all gotta have a tissue box.
Y'all cutting onions around here or what? Sheesh.
I think it's really important that you told your mom that you were sorry, because you only get one, and you should always love your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Ella, what struck you about Tatiana's story?
I think I can really relate to the, I can just relate to, your mom, she can be so annoying and you can say some hurtful things, but the fact of the matter is you just never know. And you never know if one day something, the plot can twist on you. Mm-hmm. So, it's just like always making sure that, especially moms, letting them know that we love you, even though you're annoying sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Shout out Bridget Wilson. Love you, Mom.
Now, Tatiana, the same question that we asked Irene, what's the most important takeaway from your story?
Well, if you're in the wrong, apologize for it. Put your pride aside and just say, I'm sorry. And if you love someone you truly do, just say it. Just say, I love you.
Just let it out. That's it. Just free yourself.
Well,
thank you so much for that, Tatiana. And if you're just tuning in, I'm Alejandro Alvarez with Cam Living, accompanied by the legendary Nicole Rochlin. I hope I got that right, because she might cut me if not.
Rochlin.
Okay, well, I'm trying. And we are stepping in for Dr. Rubicek, or Dr. Hank, whatever you want to call him. Me and Cam like to call him a legend, who is at the Moth Grand Slam. But we have our own Great Story Slam going on here with guest tellers Tatiana. Tatiana Gago. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna get
it's
it right
okay.
today. I'm trying.
We're getting there.
All right, Irene Nunez, I got that one.
Yeah.
Shay Hopper.
Yep.
On So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 91.9 in Huntsville.
So real quick, a question to each of you: what is it about the personal stories we like so much? Shay, your thoughts?
I think personal stories add a connection. So you always find someone who actually has the same things that are happening to them, and then they can relate to you. So it's just a personal connection with someone else as well.
Okay. For sure.
I don't see him, but what about you, Ty?
Well, for me, personal stories is just learning more about someone and how their feelings on certain situations. My mom, she was pretty much telling me stories growing up, so personal stories, that's what I just learned from her.
I feel that. Tatiana?
Well, like I mentioned before, with storytelling, you get to learn so much about someone from the stories that they tell, because they're starting to give you a bit of a piece of information, like, that's so deep, and they decide to give that to you. So, In a way, I think that's pretty special. There's, like, a special bond created when you're telling a story.
Yes. And last but not least, Irene, why do stories work for you?
So it's a way to be able to process those feelings, what's inside, and just purge yourself of everything, of all the negativity or whatever is bothering you, and just to let it out there, let people know and be like, hey, like, I'm giving you a piece of me, just to let you know that if you're going through something, like, hey, someone else has gone through it as well.
Okay. All right, Alejandro, Alavero, you're in the storytelling class right now. What's one thing you've learned that impressed you the most?
Well, I take the storytelling class with Dr. Rubicek, the legend, that crazy man that gets mad when you don't respond to his emails.
Oh, yeah, that boy.
And what I've learned is, when you sit down for an interview, I've been using this storytelling skill a lot for, like, when you're sitting down for an interview, instead of making it sound like a survey, whenever they tell you, tell me about a time that you had to deal with a bad customer, or tell me about a time that you resolved a conflict. Tell me about a time. It's always tell me about a time. Well, if you answer that question, that's fine. But if you tell them a story and you walk them through it, and you're animated, you're colorful, you take them in on this journey with you, you're not only answering the question, you're executing the question now. And to me, that's huge. The conversation, it becomes a conversation, not an interview anymore.
For sure.
It's more of like a relationship. It's more personal to me. And I think that's the biggest surprise I've realized from the storytelling class.
Well, I'll tell you this. This radio thing is a challenging gig. Aloe and I are programmers on our newborn baby station, UHDI Radio, and we're loving it.
Cam, I know you're big into scripts and preparation, so the time it takes to get ready for a program is no surprise to you. What is the biggest surprise you've learned from radio?
I'll tell you this. In that first meeting that we had, I was terrified. I was shocked. I was shy. I didn't know what to say. I thought when it got down to the logistics and everything, I was like, wow, I'm going to really bomb at this. But then when I got on air that first day, it was natural to me. I didn't know how to take it all in, but I keep getting better day by day. And I'm ready to pass on some wisdom to new interns that we have next semester.
Love it.
Another surprise, which I've noticed in this little thing we got going on right now, is just how fast time goes when you're behind the mic. Right, Nicole?
That is so right.
All right, Nicole, I know you're always surprised at the incredible storytelling venues in Houston. So tell us where listeners can develop their telling skills.
Cam, well, Houston is Storyland, and let's be very clear on that. And to develop those skills, listeners will want to join our sponsors, the Houston Storytellers Guild, and they meet the fourth Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Temple Emmanuel, located at 1500 Sunset. So be sure to visit the Guild's website at www.houstonstorytellers.org for upcoming events and for all of our past So What's Your Story programs, every show since 2008. And they're listed right there under the menu, under the radio program tab. And there's Hank, Greg, Mary, and Warren. You know, they are at the Moth Grand Slam right now. And Warren and Greg are telling stories. So tonight's a very special time and for a very special event. But our good friends at the Moth meet the second Tuesday of every month at Warehouse Live. And this month's theme is ego. What else, Tatiana?
We also want everyone to know that not having a radio is no excuse for missing our program, because you can listen to us stream live on kpft.org and our Facebook Live. Tell us what you think about our shows or suggest program ideas by visiting our So What's Your Story Facebook page, and we promise to get back to you. And please be sure to share our page with your friends, your family, your lovers, and your enemies. And we'd love it if you like us on the way out.
Right. I'm sorry. All I can think about is like Ludacris right now. She's like lovers and friends. But anyway, thank you. Yes. Okay. We're not going to start there. But thank you, Tatiana. And we can't forget to tell the world that we are on YouTube. Make sure you are subscribing to our YouTube channel. And back to you guys.
All right. Thank you very much, Nicole and Tatiana. Ty, you're a CJ major and you took the storytelling course. Why?
It was mostly by chance. I saw it, and, well, it just piqued my interest when I read it, storytelling, and I just gave it a chance, and I grew to love it, the class.
And you said you were raised on stories about your past. Tell us one thing you learned about your past that surprised you.
Well, the thing about my past that surprised me had to be learning about just my whole my parents, their situation, and just they really grew up with each other in the same neighborhood for years.
Okay, your family, yours is a family story of sorts, but it smacks more like George Washington's story about telling his dad, "Pa, I cannot tell a lie. I chopped down the cherry tree with my little axe." Now that we've aroused curiosity around the world, please tell us your story.
Well, for my story, I actually cut down my grandfather's tree, but it wasn't a cherry tree, it was a pecan tree. This tree, however, was very old and dangerous. Tree limbs falling, neighbors complaining, in the city sending out complaints. It was just crazy. I kept telling my grandfather, me and my family about just cutting it down. He wouldn't go along with it. He's one of those old type of guys that, you know, just too stubborn. He was kind of senile at the time. So, well, he always pays attention to everything. So, but with the whole pecan situation, he wouldn't let us cut it, saying it was, the pecans wouldn't grow anymore, but that ain't true.
My grandpa loved pecans.
So basically, I asked my grandmother, saying I can cut it down when he's not noticing it at the time. And well, I got her blessing to cut it down. And well, I couldn't do it during the daytime because he doesn't go anywhere at all, rarely. So I had to actually wait at 10 p.m. when he fell asleep one night.
He's plotting that thing out.
It was originally me by myself until my cousins were over that day too. It was during the summer.
Gang.
So when he went to sleep, I actually went to his old tool shed and basically got all the tools. But I couldn't find the good tools. I had the ones that were covered in tape and just rusted and old. So when I got the axe, it was two axes. When I got the first axe, the axe part actually fell into my hands when I had it upright. Like something out of Tom and Jerry. It was crazy. Then I get the second axe and I start chopping, and then it broke like on the third chop in half. So I basically cut down, with the help of my cousins, a tree with just half an axe.
So you mean to tell me you chopped down his tree with his axe?
His half an axe.
Wow.
His half an axe. Yeah, put some respect on it. Wow.
So basically, one of us was the lookout, and my other cousin, Bubba. I know. Basically, we just took turns chopping and chopping. And then next thing we know, we took shifts with the whole lookout, because he sometimes be wandering at night. So we had to be careful. But when we finally chopped it down, it actually fell on top of the fence. Oh, it was like the metal fence. It was stuck. And when we tried to lift it, we had to put a lot of force to lift that. It had to fall on the sidewalk. Then the next thing we had to do was hide the evidence. Because you hear what I'm saying? Because it's basically in front of the house. We had to hide it. So it was the empty lot. We had to carry it behind the house. But we couldn't really push or pull the tree. It was around, it had to be around 800, 900 pounds.
Jeez. The tree?
Yes.
I was putting in work.
Yeah, he had the squad with him, so he was good.
So basically, we had to chop it down some more with the half the rusted axe. Three separate parts. And well, we hit it. And actually, when we came back from hiding it, no one was looking out for him this time. And when we came back, he was actually on the porch watching, looking at us. I said, he must have some kind of, I don't know, Jedi powers. He must have said something was wrong with
sounds
that tree.
Sounds about right.
So when we came back, my cousin said, oh, man, we're caught. And well, I said, don't say nothing. He doesn't know what we're doing tonight. Just don't say nothing because he doesn't know. And when we got on the party, he said, what were y'all doing this night? We didn't say nothing. He said, what were y'all going out for, girls or something? He said, I expect you from you, Bubba or Armea, but not you, Todd. I expected more from you. But basically, after that, he just gave us a stern talking to, while my grandmother behind his back was winking at us, saying good job. and pretty much that summer, I left like the next day. It was the end. And well, let's just say 3 months later, he did not notice that the tree was cut down.
Oh, wow.
And he always sits on that porch. So, well, he didn't notice it until my uncle from out of town came and told him, I can't believe you let them boys cut down that tree. He said, what? He actually had to stand up, look to the side to his yard to see that whole tree was gone. But yeah, that's just my funny story.
Well, while I'm kind of upset that you cut down this tree with his axe, you were good, though, because you had your grandma's blessing. Aloe, do you ever have any tree trouble in your neighborhood?
I've never had to cut down a tree or at least disguise
Not
it
yet.
Or hide it from my grandparents. I mean, maybe that's in the future for me, but right now I'm kind of just chilling. I'm not cutting down any trees, any pecan trees, any 800-pound trees like that, thankfully. But until then, I'll report it back to you, Cam, if I have to deal with that.
Would you know a pecan tree if you saw one?
Actually, no, I wouldn't. I thought pecan trees were small little trees, oh but he God. Said 800 pounds. I was like, hold on, man, you got some real muscle over there.
He had the squad to pick it up with him.
I know,
him,
so
he couldn't do that by
I was
himself.
Like, man, that's some real deal going on. So
I see you, Ty. So, Ty, what's the lesson that you learned?
Truthfully, I don't think I learned the lesson. Well, it's just basically you just have to do things, even if someone hates you for it, it's for the greater good. You just have to.
It's sometimes. For the greater good.
I can just imagine your grandpa sitting outside. Man, it's a little brighter out here today, but he don't know what's going on.
Your voice makes this story 10 times better. I feel like I'm there. And then when you dropped the name Bubba on me, I was like, oh, man. That's it right there. That's so organic, man.
Thank you.
All right, Allo, these stories are raw and real and personal and maybe even a little funny. This program is about live storytelling. How rare is that?
I would say it is very rare. Hashtag rare. It's about validating who we are and building connections through messages from our heart. Like Dr. Seuss believed, sometimes you never know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. And I think Dr. Seuss, absolute legend.
That's okay.
Or Migos. Dr. Seuss, Migos. You know, I see the comparison clearly. Would you agree with that, Shay, what Dr. Seuss said?
Oh, of course. I think that in hindsight, especially when things happen to you and those memories come back, I think that is so important because you could actually either get over it by the memory of it, or you actually encourage someone, you know, through the memory of what has actually happened to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, your story, it's pretty timely, and it's about an episode caused by selective perspective. You know, people have selective hearing, selective perspective. They hear what they want. They see what they want. Can you share your story with us, Shay?
Yeah, of course. Well, my story began back in 2017. It was the fall of actually 2017, and it was a really good time. We were getting students to register to vote. We have an event at the school. It's called Walk to Vote. And at the beginning of the Walk to Vote, we register people to vote. So we try to encourage young people to vote by getting everyone who's 18 and a little bit older to register. So this day was one of those big days. We had the radio out. We had the big speakers out. We were giving out snacks, taking pictures. It was just a really big day. And so we were encouraging people to come. Register to vote. It's important for you. And a young gentleman who, another student, said, hey, it's Mexican Heritage month. I said, okay, well, that's great news, but today we're registering people to vote. And he said, well, can I play my music on the radio? I said, well, you know what? I have a class, so go ahead and play your music, and when I come back, we'll just switch it out. So it was an hour, hour and 15 minutes, typical class time.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and I left for the hour, and I came back, and the music was still playing. So I said, well, it's time to now change the music, because we can't listen to Spanish music all day. The school is very diverse. Let's add it into a playlist, and mm-hmm. so you'll get to hear the Spanish music in between.
Mixed in, yeah.
Yeah. So I said, well, because we can't play it all day, it's Mexican Heritage Month, and why can't we play this as much as we want? And I was like, well, because the school is diverse. So everyone doesn't, I don't speak Spanish, mm-hmm. you know, and I know everyone here doesn't speak Spanish, and so we're just going to, let's just put it in. Let's make a playlist. We could take time out and make a playlist. Wasn't happy with that. He left, took his iPod or whatever.
It's all your fault.
Yeah. And he was upset. So he left. So I continued to register people to vote. And at this time, it happened to be, I'm also an officer in the Student Government Association.
Shoot, girl.
Man, what don't you do? That's the question.
So it was time for me for confirmation. So in student government, you get confirmed by the other senators who's there. And it was time for me to get confirmed. And all of a sudden, a buzz was going around the school. Shay's a racist. Can you believe she said this? Shay is such a racist. And I'm like, what?
Shay.
Who's Shay? What Shay is that?
Yeah, because I haven't met her.
Yeah, I want to know who's walking Shay? Around with my name being a racist. And come to find out, it was me. And what happened was he went back to the committee and told the committee that I said that we can't listen to Mexican music all day. And I said, well, that wasn't what I said. I said, because Mexican is a culture. Spanish is a genre. So that's what I said. I said Spanish. And they said, well, he said you said Mexican, so you won't be an SGA officer. We're not going to vote you in. Very devastating, because I had done the job prior to then since August, mm-hmm. since school started. not getting paid, just doing the job. And then so when they didn't confirm me, I said, you have a choice. You can either quit, throw up the towel, or continue to register people to vote, continue to do the job. So I decided to be the bigger person, and I continued to do the job. In addition, you know, Irene was there, and she's like, hold up, don't give up yet. We'll fix this because, you know, so we fixed it. And needless to say, I end up getting confirmed probably in December, the next meeting. I got confirmed, which was great because now I can actually get paid for the work I was doing.
Some respect on your name.
That's right.
Right. So, and the funny thing is, so it was all over. We had meetings. I even went to our diversity training team to actually find out, hey, what is it that I actually did? What happened? Why is this such an issue? And they explained to me what a microaggression was. I said, oh, so I get it. So I took accountability for it. I apologized and I moved forward. And just so happened, I thought it was all over. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, well, guess what? I'll run for president of the student body because I've been doing all this work. People know my name. People know me, and I love what I do. So I'll run for student body president. So I was running, doing really great on the campaign. Everybody was like, are we going to vote for you? That, you know, my numbers were coming up. And the week of election, the newspaper puts out an article about me and said I was a racist.
Man.
I was, I said the Mexican music all day. It was called the breakdown of the bachata.
Oh, wow. I remember
that. That's my genre, though.
Yeah, it was called the breakdown of the bachata, and they kind of mishandled the story, didn't tell the story all correctly, and lost the election by 11 votes. So it's such a narrow margin, and but it was devastating. It was upsetting, you know. But I continued. I said, you know what? I can't let that get me down because I know the job I have. So I continue to work anyway. So currently, I am still a senator in the Student Government Association because I didn't let them run me off with that. Mm. You know, I did also make sure that everyone in SGA takes some diversity training. So now that is a requirement as a part of being an officer in SGA, so that you'll know what a microaggression is. So you won't say, hey, why do you wear your hair like that, and not understand that that person wears their hair like that for maybe a religious reason or whatever. And those are microaggressions, and we do them every day. But guess what? No one knows what they are. So it's about training and making sure that an instance like that doesn't happen again.
That's just beautiful. I mean, you just took a negative and turned it to a positive. That's exactly what you did. And you know,
and you have to.
And what's crazy about this story is I've had a couple classes with you before, and I don't think you've ever cared whether I had long hair, short hair, purple skin, yellow skin, white skin, pink skin.
I got
short hair. But what you did care about was you cared that I was a student.
Yeah.
Because I remember you always telling us in class, it was with Dr. Harris. I never forget that research class.
Understandable.
You would always say, like, you know, like, I'm a part of SGA. We are for you. Those charging stations, that's the first time you put me onto those charging stations. You were telling me, like, you know, we work for you guys. So if you have a complaint, come tell me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that's just... That's so crazy how, you know, somebody could distort your character in such a crazy manner, you know. And maybe that person felt that way. But, you know, I really love how you kind of tied it back in and turned it to a positive overall, saying that everybody in SGA should have this sort of training so we know how to deal with it going forward and stuff like that. So hats off to you. That's pretty impressive.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let me tell you something about bachata real quick. That's like the Hispanic R&B right there.
Okay, girl.
If you got some speakers in your trunk, you listen to some bachata, it's going to be like, dun, 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 dun. It sound real nice.
Yeah. I mean, I know what it is now. I didn't know then because, you know, Irene is now putting me on.
Yeah, okay, look at that.
I love me some bachata. I love me some bachata, bachata, bachata. Now, since, you know, you are part of student government and they, you know, named that article something after bachata, I forgot what it said, you know, I would do just for fun, you know, bachata lessons just because, you know, this is, you know, UHD, prides itself on the diversity in it. So, I mean, what about incorporating some of those things, not just bachata, but there's other dances.
Look, merengue.
Merengue. Yeah. And then, too, you know, on the African-American side, you know, we know about that, you know, bunny hop, cha-cha slide. Okay. You know, I don't know what's new, but, you know, the line dances, like, so if we're going to talk about diversity and celebrate it, then let's do it big.
Celebrate it.
Yeah. Bachata lessons A300.
Everybody.
That would be fun. But you know what? I guarantee you, if you try it, there's going to be a lot of students that will come out and support because it's fun. It's a way to interact with one another. And again, the diversity that we do pride ourselves at UHD will definitely be displayed by doing activities such as that. So, hey.
Hey, you might be onto something. Just know, I was here.
I'll host it.
I'm taking notes. I may take credit.
I'm going to give it to you. I give you the credit. But look, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. It's mine.
It's been documented on here. So what's your story?
Yes.
But that is such a kind of just tying back to the story. It's terrible whenever somebody misrepresents your character and really just lies, intensely distorts who you are. I mean, you know, we all have this idea of who we are. And we're pretty confident in that, I would argue. But then for somebody to go do that and then they put out this article about you. I mean, have you guys had lies told about you before, like a mischaracterization of who you are and stuff like that? What have you guys had to deal with before?
So actually recently, right, I went through a few things during the fall semester. If you guys know, we actually have general assemblies, right? And we had this whole, like, it was on Facebook Live and everything. And people were like, oh, there's a conflict of interest, you know, because they were trying to remove someone that wasn't doing their job and other people didn't agree. And actually, my boyfriend was the one that brought it up.
Say his name.
Ramiro Ojeda, right? I love you.
She does say his name right.
And so, he brought it up and someone was like, oh no, it's like a conflict of interest. And oh, she's doing it because she's, against these girls because they're like, they practice like Islam. And so I was like, wait, what? I was like, oh, it came out of nowhere. It went from one thing, it went from 0 to 100 real quick. And I was just like, what? So, I mean, like, I've been there. It's awkward because you were like, what position am I being put in? Like, where did this come from? Like, why am I being put in this? Like, no one ever says anything like that. So, yeah.
And it's just tough that race card is so easy to pull out. It's so quick to pull out. And I'm like, instead of being truthful or honest about something, let's not always just pull the race card. Oh, you're doing this because I'm black. Oh, you're doing this because I'm Muslim. Oh, you're doing this because I'm Spanish. No, I'm telling you the truth, you know, because it is what's happening, you know. Yeah. So I just think it's crazy how some people just automatically pull out that race card. It's not always about your race. It could be just about you.
Oh, someone like who works in retail, me.
Well
I
said.
I get that all the time.
God bless you, girl.
That if you... I have gotten comments from people saying that I look at them funny because of their race. We've gotten situations. I've had a coworker before that apparently she looked at a customer funny because of his race, and he pulled out a stack of money out of his pocket saying, "You just lost $1,000 sale because you were being racist towards me." So we've had some crazy situations that happen throughout our lives.
So that's sure. So would you say that that's your story about how your character was kind of... I was just about to ask you beat me to it. if you've ever had your character kind of, tampered with? You know?
Well, I've had a situation in high school where this boy started spreading a rumor that I was a lesbian.
Oh, great. High school boys. They're the best kind of boys.
Smartest boys.
Smartest boys.
They make all the sense.
Shout out high school boys.
Yeah, I think me and my buddies were just having a conversation about the boys we were in high school. And notice how I say boys and not men, because that's what we were, boys. It's really boys to men, though.
We're so grateful that you're taking accountability for that.
You know what I'm saying? I can come clean. Come on now. But just kind of getting back to Shay, there's a lot of lessons in your story, everything from hearing what you want to hear and not considering context. And I think that's huge. What's the most important lesson that we need to take from your story, Shay?
The most important lesson, I think, that most people need to take from this story is know your truth and know who you are. And don't let someone else tell you who you are. I could have easily let them say, oh, I'm a racist, and been like, oh, my God, am I? Oh my, and then kind of went into a shell. But I said, no, I know who I am. I know where I come from, and I know that's not a part of my life. So for someone to tell me this is who you are, I'm like, no, I know who I am. So the biggest lesson is don't let somebody else tell you who you are. You already know who you are, and you already have been formed, and you're already mature enough. So letting somebody else tell you this is who you are and this is how we're going to label you. And I said, no, you're not going to label me that. Mm-hmm. And so then, Shay. Yeah.
I mean, I'm like inspired right here.
I'm going to take out my phone and write some posts.
Man, I'm going to call Shay next time I'm feeling down. Like, hey, who am I again? Okay, that's right. That's
we all need some inspiration.
For interviews.
Yeah,
exactly.
Definitely a mixed bag of fun on So What's Your Story. I'm Cam. And the guy with the short hair here is Aloe. And we're enjoying the guest tellers, Shay, Ty, Tatiana, and Irene, only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, Pacifica Radio Field for Peace. Mm. Yo, Aloe, you received the Excellence in Communication Studies Award today.
Yeah.
Yo.
Okay. Congratulations.
That's why he was late, but it's all right.
Okay. We don't got to talk about that, man. We don't got to talk
Shay.
About that. Hey, I know. Man, let me show
everything all day. You know, so tell us about that. What happened, Doc?
Ironically enough, I got an email from one of our favorite professors that we're gonna not name, and Cam knows exactly what I'm talking about. And she emailed me saying, "Congratulations, you've been nominated for a Communication Excellence Award." And I was like, "What is a Communication Excellence Award? And how is Alejandro even worthy of this?" Award. But I was like, you know, I'm a go though, you know what I'm saying? But that was crazy. So I kind of asked around. I was like, do you guys know what this is about? Like, do I need to tell my mom? Because my mom's always like, I want to go to the school. And I'm like, I asked around, and then I talked to Professor Ceballos, fantastic professor at the University of Houston downtown. And she was like, oh yeah, you've been nominated by a couple professors for all the work you've done with the radio station and how active you are in class and stuff like that. And so I thought it was fire. I thought it was dope. I love the love that the professors at UHD are giving me. I even love the professors at UHD that make it hard for me to accomplish such simple tasks because, you know, diamonds are created under pressure, and I think that's what the excellence in communication.
That was a gem.
You know what I'm saying? That's what the excellence in communication studies are.
That was a gem.
I'm dropping them.
That's hard.
I'm dropping them.
That's hard.
I'm dropping them.
You're supposed to write that down.
But yeah, I think being under all that pressure is what the Excellence in Communication Studies Award is. But that's not my award. That award belongs to the University of Houston iRadio, South 1024 is where you can find us. Everybody in that station, that's our award, and that's just not my award. Because without that station and all those people kind of just being the homies and all that love and good energy, I think that's how that came to fruition for me.
We are definitely a family. We are the political uprising entourage.
Yeah. You might have to share that story, but if we have some time.
If we have some time. Should I share the story? You think we have time?
You have time for a short story.
Yeah, let's hear it then.
Okay. So I'm going to...
We're going to leave some names out.
I'm gonna leave some names out, and I'm going to speak very hypothetically here because this is a storytelling program. And what would it be if one of your co-hosts didn't tell a story?
Mm.
Okay. So me and my peers signed up for this group meeting thing online, sent out through a link by one of our wonderful professors. And we signed up all for the same time. I, being the busy person that I am, I work sometimes 44 hours a week sometimes. Stuff gets by me, and I miss my time. However, four of my peers were signed up for the same time. So I checked the time that we went. We were a group of five. We didn't look intimidated. Look at me. I'm 5'10". I'm not swole or anything.
Not yet. We working on it.
He keep feeding me those protein cookies.
You know, I'm working on it.
I'm gonna get there. So we go in there and we were just greeted with haste, irate voices, and basically it ended up with us hearing an irate phone call about nothing was on my schedule. Just if they really need to meet with me and it's serious, they can schedule an appointment. So at this point, we're like, okay. And let me tell y'all, Allo, he's a very chill dude. He never gets upset. He stormed out. I'm like, oh, this is serious.
Out of character, for sure.
So after going to the appropriate people, I ended up typing a very, very stern and assertive email not aggressive, but stern and assertive. And I didn't get the response that we were hoping for. We didn't get the response that we were hoping for because we submitted as a team. I was just a mouthpiece. But I feel like we got something across, being that you don't have to be aggressive to a person in order for them to understand what you're saying. You can politely and assertively at the same time go up to them in any medium, email, person, talk, text. Mm-hmm. You can't talk to me like that. No matter what position you're in, you can't treat me like that. I'm a human being. You're a human being. You bleed like I do. Mm. And no matter what positions we're in, we're both adults, and you will treat me with respect.
Correct. And I think Cam's leaving out my favorite part of this story is how we were referred to as a political uprising.
And
I thought that was amazing. That was the highlight of my college career.
And also, it was stated that if we didn't get the meeting that our wonderful professor didn't show up to, that we wouldn't go on air anymore. We've been on air since then. So just remember, don't let anybody put you down. You are a human being, and just remember your worth.
Boom.
And I can't believe we're winding down. Did everybody have fun?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was fire.
Did me and Al, I know we can't fill in for the legend, Dr. Hank, but how do we do?
Yeah. Scale of 1 to 10. I know Nicole works closely with Dr. Rubicek. Where we at?
She gonna
where
be we at? Look, she in there laughing right
she
now.
She laughing.
You she know. Adding up the numbers.
Keep your comments to yourself.
I am over here tallying up my score, so check with me, you know, in just a moment. But, you know.
Can we get an A?
No, you know what? I'm going to let y'all know in a few minutes. But in the interim, why don't you ask, you know, who? I want to know who was your favorite storytellers growing up. And Cam, go ahead and start and telling me who yours was.
I can't tell you growing up because I was just into PS2 and PS1 growing up. Oh. That just shows my age a little bit.
Great.
But right now, my favorite storyteller would be Alan Watts. He'll send you into another thing, like another realm with his words. Or I would like to go with, I like to listen to Malcolm X speeches. It's really powerful, especially what's going on today. Alan, what about you?
Definitely my grandma. She likes to indulge in a lot of wine, and she'll just get going on some stories. I mean, you'll just sit there and be like, man, that's what y'all was on. Like, you know, so, I mean, it's just, she's an incredible woman, and nobody can tell her anything, because I think at that age, you kind of earn the right to just talk your talk and do what you feel like. And so she sips her glass of wine, and she'll just share a story about when she was maybe 6 years old, when she was this years old, and every time I'm always in for a sure treat. So that's definitely my grandma. Shouts to grandma.
Shouts out grandma. I love. Thank you, Irene Nunez, Ty Shadaya, Shay Tatum Hopper, and Tatiana Gago for what American writer Jennifer Weiner describes as, tell the story that's been growing in your heart, the characters you can't keep out of your head, and the tale that wakes you up in the morning. Ello, be so kind as to bring us home.
I'm about to do it right now. Just give me a little bit. Just give me a little bit. Just give me a little bit. Just give me a little bit, and I'm gonna get there. But first, I want to talk to the guests just a little bit more. Cam, can we hang out for a little bit? Can we just chill?
Let's do our thing. I ain't got nothing to do. No finals to take.
So, Irene, Shay, Tatiana, who are some of your favorite storytellers growing up?
Well, for me, it was my dad. I always have to say it's my dad because he has these stories that I'm pretty sure most of them have been illegal. I don't know if I should say them on air.
Those are the fun ones.
But no, but those are the most, those are the best stories I've gotten. He has told me so many stories. He actually used to be a race car driver. So he would be able to do competitions through Peru and I believe in other parts of South America. So, I mean, my dad, he's had one hell of a ride. Let me tell you, he's got so many stories to tell, especially, I guess, when you're older, you have more to say.
Yeah, it's always the older people that have the best stories. Like, I miss somebody, my grandpa. He's a little sick right now, but he's still my grandpa. I still love him. He used to tell me all kinds of stories about what kind of savage he was back in Louisiana. He told me this one story, and I can't make any of this up. He got into a fight with this guy, and he punched his eyeball out. He had his eyeball hanging out by the socket.
Oh,
he was so nice. He has such a good heart. He helped the guy. He grabbed the guy's eyeball in his hand, and he pushed it back in his skull.
How did that happen?
My grandpa must have had some hands. He was, this was back in the 50s, so, of course, slavery had passed. Slavery ended in 1865, but they were still out doing work, picking cotton for whatever money they could make. School wasn't really that prevalent around the time. So, he was a big, bulky guy, ate his meat and potatoes, that's for sure. Seen a picture of him when he was younger. He had the guns on him. I was like, why didn't you bodybuild? He's like, I didn't have the facility, son. I was like, okay.
That's fair.
But, could you imagine the force of, you're a kickboxer, right?
Well, yes.
Could you imagine the force you had to punch somebody with to knock their eyeball out of the socket?
Well, I would honestly, if, the only way I'm ever going to punch somebody is if they stand very still. That's it.
Okay, yeah, you're still working on it, but that's all right, though.
All right, Cam, well, I mean, as you requested, I would love to take you home now, if that's fine with you. Yeah. I'll be good
we
to
can go.
Go
to the, we can't go to the same house, but you can take it. You can take us home.
Yeah. I'm going to take your studio home.
You got to take me to the movies first.
But stay put, because Wild Bill and the Vinyl Avengers are up next with cool classics for the cooler you. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and whether you're driving home, tuning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. on So What's Your Story?
Granola.
My bad, granola. Let me live. And treasure what you can hear. Keep loving great stories, and we'll keep bringing them to you. This has been Alejandro Alvarez, or Ala for short, and
Cam Living.
And along with the rest of the So What's Your Story team, we never want you to forget that it's never too late to live happily ever after.
And you know, before we go out, guys, I just want to say I did tally up the score, and I must say you did a wonderful, 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 amazing job. UHD, kudos to you for the wonderful communications department that you do have. And I think you two are onto something, Aloe and Cam, because you guys have a wonderful chemistry, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it's definitely a refreshing evening and something new. So, you know, so what's your story? We're going to keep bringing it to you. So I guess it's safe to say you never know what to expect as our stories continue to unfold. Lastly, Ty wants to say something very quickly before we leave.
Well, I wanted to shout out to my cousin Bubba or Cedric. Or Cedric on Blake, his real name. He just graduated high school. I just wanted to congratulate
shout
him on
Bubba.
There.
Shout out, Bubba.
Ooh, the congrats, Bubba.
Well, that's it. Shout out to Bubba. I love it. And we love you guys for coming through and filling in for Dr. Hank and our So What's Your Story team.
Thank you for
and
having
as
us.
You've already Thank said, we're going to keep bringing those stories right on to you. So that's it for So What's Your Story, guys. Peace.
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 Good job.
Thousands of you have heeded the call, but there's always room for more. You can find KPFT on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. From our latest updates to funny videos, contests, news, and more, you can find us anytime, day or night. We're at KPFT Houston on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We'd love to give you the latest. Plus, you're already on Facebook. Why not get behind the scenes of Houston's leader for independent music, arts, ideas, and culture right now? Again, find us at KPFT Houston on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. See you there. Get even more from your KPFT listening experience by checking out our HD2 stream. New and improved. Get acquainted with our revamped weekly schedule now at kpft.org. Fear not, nationally syndicated favorites like Democracy Now!, Ralph Nader Radio Hour, Letters in Politics, and Economic Update remain. And good news, our evening schedule now features more local shows, including a stellar mix of public affairs, music, comedy, and Spanish language programming created and produced right here at KPFT. Don't miss a second on HD2. Mouse on over to kpft.org or on TuneIn Radio today. KPFT, Houston.
You are listening to KPFT, Houston.
Homo! A fatal show!